Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome, everybody, to Redacted on this Wednesday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And on this show, we tend to cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. One of the big stories the media is ignoring is about all these chemtrails and the geoengineering that's been taking place all across the United States. We have people in our chat rooms on a daily basis basically saying every day, I look up more and more trouble in the skies. And now a bombshell story out of Florida. Dane Wigington is going to be joining us. What are these weird globules that have been falling from the sky? Is it some sort of a bioweapon? Wait until you hear about the radiation levels of these particular globules that are falling over Florida. We'll talk about that on the show today.
Plus, the tariff news continues to change and shift. How will it affect you? We're going to try and tackle this. In the moment, right now, who knows what could happen in the next few hours. Also, what's the deal with the measles? Why is the news scaring you so much about the measles in just a few states, but not in, say, Ontario, Europe? They're also having measles outbreaks. Did you know that? Dr. Robert Malone has been saying this is propaganda, and we're going to take a look at exactly why. He will join us later today to break this down because needs greater minds, greater minds.
Clearly. Yeah, glad to have Dr. Malone back on the show. Great guy. And we're also going to talk about egg prices because, you know, you've been hearing, of course, egg prices exploded. It's all about, you know, it's inflation. It's about the culling of the chickens. Oh, really? Is it really? Well, wait until you hear what Pam Bondi's Department of Justice is now looking into as it relates to these egg prices. Price gouging, perhaps? We're going to talk about all of that and more as Redacted starts right now. Good to see everyone on this Wednesday. We're going to get to your news. Let us know where you're joining us from around the world. I see Nalander says, iridium, strontium, barium, radioactive, and just are just some of the ingredients being found in these chemtrails that Americans are now waking up to. I hope that there's a lot more awareness about this. So we're going to do our best to get the message out as much as we can.
Yes, we are. But before that we do that, we're going to talk about our friends over at NetSuite because, hey, you know it's tax time and I know it's tax time. And if you are not happy with the financial and management service and software that you've got because it made your tax season too hard, well, then you need to check out the suite of offerings at NetSuite. If you go to netsuite.com/redacted, you can learn all the tools that the most successful businesses use because, of course, we don't have a crystal ball. We're all trying to figure out what this economy is going to do to us based on what our politicians do. And your decision decision yesterday could have been completely different when you thought the tariffs were on than it would be today. So you need financial software that will move with you, help you make predictive decisions, real-time insights and forecasting, like you're peering into the future with actionable data. When you're closing the books in just days and not weeks, then you spend less time looking backwards, more time looking forward. So check out what they've got for you at netsuite.com/redacted. That's everything that you need to know and grow your business. Plus, you can get a free guide at netsuite.com/redacted. Again, just learn this. See if it can help you. netsuite.com/redacted.
All right, let's talk about the tariffs. They're changing by the minute. A few hours ago, President Trump dropped a brand new bombshell 125% tariff hammer on Chinese imports and dropped every other country's tariffs to 10% for the next 90 days while they negotiate deals with more than 70 different countries who've now agreed to come to the table and negotiate with President Trump. Now, remember, we told you April 9th, today, was the day that these tariffs were set to take place. But it was if there were no negotiating pieces coming to the table. Well, over 70 of these countries have agreed to it now. So they're just going to get hit with 10% for the next 90 days as they iron out and hash out all of these pieces. Now, this is totally isolated China in this discussion now because Beijing is reeling. They're fighting back. They're going like, you know, balls to the wall against President Trump. And it may be great for their country. We'll have to see how all this shakes out. So was this like 4D chess here? You know, some are saying, oh, this is Trump. He's brilliant. This is 4D chess. Others are saying this is just dumb luck. It all just worked out.
Well, raise your hand if you're seeing this all over your social networks is we don't buy that much from China. China doesn't buy that much from us. We don't sell them that much. They don't make that much. Who the heck knows at this point? It's so hard, right? And you're like, ooh, I'm going to share this because someone's... And then somebody else says something completely different. We're watching the market be absolutely schizophrenic.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go to the store and like everything says made in China. Show me something that does not say made in China.
Everything. Are your cheap televisions? I mean, we used to have Zenith televisions in the United States. Like that was the last one to fall. Like we don't make anything anymore, you know, in the United States. Right. I shouldn't say anything. But I mean, overwhelmingly, go back to the NAFTA debate. You remember that famous debate? You had Ross Perot sitting there on Larry King Live. I watched that live that night. That should go show you how old I am. Al Gore, Ross Perot's basically saying, you know, we buy so much from China. The United States is the biggest consumer of Chinese goods. So we're going to see. That was then, you know, and we buy a lot from China. Anyway, all these other countries came to the table. So what was it like, 4D chess or was it dumb luck? I think it's actually, you know, I'm not like a Trump sycophant like some of these people are. But I think it's actually closer to a 4D chess move. I'll explain why in just a second. We now have 125% tariff. That's on top of the 104% that Trump had already put in place against China and took place, by the way. This is a massive hit for the Chinese economy. You're already seeing it. Then it was a tit-for-tat move this morning from China firing back. China slapped back with an 84% tariff on American goods into China. But this isn't just like another headline. This is a seismic shift in global trade that could mark the beginning of China's economic unraveling and the rebirth of American manufacturing if all of this comes to pass over the next 5 years. I mean, it takes a while to build factories and to get back up to capacity. We're not making our TVs now. Who's going to make them?
And how can we make them that quickly? Can we make them? Now, when President Trump last night said, well, we're going to put tariffs on pharmaceuticals and they're going to bring their manufacturing right back. Well, how is that overly optimistic when during the pandemic, or actually towards the tail end of the pandemic, Justin Trudeau said, hey, look at us. We have all these contracts. Now Moderna is going to start making pharmaceuticals inside Canada. That was a 2-year plan. Can we move any faster than that? I'm legitimately wondering.
Well, here's what Trump said. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to say, I think that this is... Oops, sorry, my camera went off. I think this is going to make Black Friday a lot less stressful this year if we don't have TVs to fight over.
Oh, possibly.
Or anything to fight over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I guess you're going to be going to your local farmer's market and fighting over eggs or something.
Oh, no, but this is the kind of Christmas I've always wanted. My kids will bring sticks on buckets. and yes. be happy about it.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, let's talk about this. So President Trump enacted 104% tariff on Chinese imports on Monday, okay? Then just a short time ago, Trump doubled down on this, saying this is about national security, unfair trade practices, and China's role in flooding the U.S. with fentanyl. And then he dropped this bombshell just a short time ago. Based on the lack of respect that China has shown in the world's markets, I'm hereby raising the tariffs charged on China by the United States of America to 125% effective immediately. So there you go. Earlier this morning, China responded, hiking tariffs on U.S. goods 84%. But here's the truth right now. China doesn't have the leverage that it used to have. The American market is China's lifeline. Cutting it off could cause long-term damage to their already fragile economy. No one wants to talk about how fragile it actually is. Goldman Sachs, though, does. They see a downside risk. 4.5% GDP forecast for China. They just downgraded China to that. That might not sound like much until you realize that's hundreds of billions of dollars wiped off the board. Might not sound like much to you and me, but that's huge for Goldman Sachs. And it gets worse. Fitch, also out with their ratings, just slashed China's credit rating, saying there are too many warning signs of a rising debt risk and economic instability in China, not to mention their real estate sector in collapse. I mean, just so many empty buildings. Youth unemployment is soaring across China, and we've known this for more than a year. Young people leaving China, many were trying to enter the United States illegally. Then a trade war went into the mix. So China is a ticking time bomb. Others saying, no, China will be fine. So we'll have to see how this all shakes out. They're very secretive about all of this and their numbers. But the stuff that is public is pretty damning right now. Now, let's talk about this because in the U.S., something amazing has happened here over the past 48 hours. General Motors announced they're expanding truck production in Indiana, adding 250 jobs there. And this is just a snapshot, guys. Toyota investing $8 billion to double its North Carolina battery plant, creating over 3,000 jobs. Stellantis hiring bulk for its new U.S. operations as well. And this isn't anecdotal. Lots of other announcements, too many to mention here. This is in direct response to the tariffs. Could be a blueprint for building back the middle class. We'll have to see again how all this shakes out.
Again, my question is, we've heard these stories about empty factories across the United States. J.D. Vance tells the story of his hometown, completely decimated by lack of industry. So is this something we can just get back? Is that ignorant to think, oh, well, let's just fire it back up, right?
Well,
this
is ignorant. You know, it is ignorant. I think, well, not ignorant, but it's a good question. I mean, a lot of these have been mothballed. I saw some really interesting data about this. I mean, a lot of these, 90,000 of them have closed down since Bill Clinton put in force.
90,000 plants?
90,000 factories in the United States of America.
Wow.
Since the 1990s. 90,000. Many of them mothballed. Just drive through our old, you know, where we used to live up near Holly, Pennsylvania, up through the Scranton area, and you just see like a lot of empty factories, a lot of empty buildings up there. Biden's hometown, you know, empty, gone, wasted. And then, of course, Hillary Clinton called them deplorables, that people that live in the Rust Belt. So that went over really well. So a lot of other announcements. Someone in our chat right just said, I like the announcement about American Patriot 1960 said, I like the announcement about the manufacturing of pharmaceuticals back in the United States. Yeah. The drugs that you get manufactured in China. Like, how would you like to have them manufactured back in the United States?
Well,
again?
Also think about the panic that we went through in the pandemic when we thought, what if we couldn't get them? We don't make them, and maybe we never could get them. And that's why the Biden administration continued to just stockpile instead of try to manufacture. So it may be myopic to just think that it may be an issue of national security. We should make our own medicines.
Well,
think about it that way.
Well, even forget just pharmaceuticals. I've done many posts on our precious minerals problem in the United States of America, our energy independence. It's a national security question. So absolutely, it's a problem. Now, American business owners are fired up about this. Business leaders like Kevin O'Leary this morning said that Trump needs to go further on China. He says, forget 125%. Which sounds crazy to a lot of people. He says it needs to be 400%. Watch.
104% tariffs on China are not enough. I'm advocating 400%. I do business in China. They don't play by the rules. They've been in the WTO for decades. They have never abided by any of the rules they agreed to when they came in for decades. They cheat. They steal. They steal IP. I can't litigate in their courts. They take product, technology. They steal it. They manufacture it and sell it back here. Never
can
has an administration
400% tariffs. What would that look like?
Xi on an airplane to Washington to level the playing field.
Get Chinese President Xi Jinping on an airplane to the United States. We'll see if that happens. Friend of the show, Anthony Pompliano, last night interviewed dozens of blue-collar business owners across the country. Because if you watch liberal media right now, liberal media is like, oh, this is the worst thing in the world. But actually, if you actually talk to American business owners, it's a different story. Now, maybe they're not all in the tank for Trump, but they have everyone that Anthony Pompliano talked about and wrote about today, I found fascinating. He said they're also basically saying the same thing. It's about time that we stop getting screwed. And they're supportive of Trump's tariffs, mostly supportive of them. And these are blue-collar businesses that he spoke with. Here's just a sampling. He spoke to a highway sign manufacturer in South Florida, a rock-crushing manufacturer in South Carolina, electric harness business in Michigan, traffic cone business in Pennsylvania, line stripping business in New York, pallet distributor in Georgia, steel brokerage in Alabama, janitorial product distributor in Illinois, master distributor in Minnesota, aggregates distributor in Louisiana, tool manufacturer in Arkansas. Talked to all of them, interviewed all of them. They're all saying the same thing, essentially. They remember when American factories were thriving before NAFTA, before China's WTO sweetheart deal, before globalists sold out the working class. They're supportive of this. Now, of course, the corporate media is losing its mind. CNN, MSNBC, The New York Times, they're warning of economic catastrophe, of course. Here's what they won't say. We just saw the numbers here. 2,800. The stock market today skyrocketed. 2,800. That's up 18%, 2,800 points. That's the largest rally in 5 years, according to the numbers I'm looking at here. U.S. manufacturing stocks on fire today, and Trump's approval rating is climbing. Again, these are the facts, and, you know, sort of liberal media is sort of gripping with this, but here's CNN dealing with Trump's approval rating yesterday. Watch.
I think there was this concern among some folks that Donald Trump would come in for a second term and kind of be a lame duck. He ain't no lame duck. If anything, he's a soaring eagle. What am I talking about here? Let's talk about Trump executive orders in 2025. He's already signed 111 so far. That is the most at this point in a presidency in at least 100 years. In fact,
yeah, a soaring eagle, he called him. Then he went on to talk about...
I'm surprised her head didn't explode.
I know.
Say that here.
I mean, it did go on, and then they talked about, like, do you think he's using too much power? And a lot of Americans think that he has, you know, he's using more of the power of the presidency than other presidents in the past. But the point is that they keep doing these approval number. He's gone up 4 points, and CNN is like, oh, how do we spin this? How do we spin this information to the people? So liberals in big cities right now can't believe it. But American workers are, singing a different tune right now.
Do you remember we had the woman who was a farmer? She's a cattle farmer from Wisconsin, I believe, who talked about how Americans, we love ground beef. It's just our thing. And so she is required, in order to sell ground beef at a marketable price, to import the fat from China. But in Asia, they buy our really high quality meat because for whatever reason, Americans don't. And so she can't put that meat on the table without trade from China. So I've been thinking about that a lot lately. Let me know if you know anything about the meat industry, because what are we going to do? Do we all have to now eat strip steak and stop eating our ground beef if that's not available? We can't import that fat any longer. I mean, I'm fine with whatever, you know, but let me know.
And could you imagine if they were able to fire the steel mills back up in Pittsburgh? Like, look at what that did to that area after that went left. And if that kind of stuff starts coming back, like what that'll do to those areas again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, you know, Pittsburgh, I went to the University of Pittsburgh, and you saw, like, the steel mills that were, you know, thriving, of course. It became a healthcare town. You know, it became like a go there to get your heart surgery kind of town, University of Pittsburgh.
And then during
Medical
the pandemic,
Center.
We literally could not get steel from abroad because we'd hamstrung ourselves.
Yeah.
Is that the right word?
I don't know.
Hamstring.
All right.
Okay. All right. Well, you can't make this up even if you tried. The Department of Homeland Security, headed by Kristi Noem, will be denying citizenship and residency to people if they criticize Israel. You may have heard this before, and you're hearing it again. Supporting Judaism and Israel are now essentially requirements to become a U.S. citizen or a U.S. green card holder. Now, obviously, supporting Jewish people is not the same as supporting Israel, but the U.S. government wants you to think that it is. Take a look at this announcement made via press release shortly before Benjamin Netanyahu left, saying that the DHS is going to begin screening aliens' social media for anti-Semitism. And again, what is it they call anti-Semitism is criticizing Israel in any way or supporting Palestinian people in any way. So here is the quote saying today the USCIS will begin considering aliens' anti-Semitic activity on social media and the physical harassment of Jewish individuals as grounds for denying immigration benefits requests. This will immediately affect aliens applying for lawful permanent residence, foreign students and aliens affiliated with educational institutions as well linked to anti-Semitic activity. So also, this explains why Ivy League universities are saying that we've accepted these students from abroad and the United States keeps denying their student visas and not telling us why. Ivy Leagues such as, let's see, Columbia, Harvard, University of California, San Diego, UCSD, they're all saying over 300 visas for students that have done the work, taken the test, applied, and then the U.S. government says we don't want that person. Now, what do they think they can do? Just completely filter out this attitude, this belief that Israel may be harming civilians? They think that they could just not let anyone else in, and then what will they do to the rest of us that know that, right? And so to be clear, saying bad things about white people or Christians or Catholics will not affect your immigration status only, and again, we've seen how fuzzy this is. This could just be we want the civilians in Palestine to stop dying, and then what, right? Or in Gaza, to stop dying, and that becomes anti-Semitic. So this is clearly a dangerous precedent, but it's happening. It's here, something that we were warned about as post-apocalyptic, but it's here.
And yeah, you can still say stuff, bad stuff about white people and Christians. So just to be clear, like you can criticize Christians all you want, Catholics all you want, but if you say if you are anti-Semitic, you can't do that. So just to be clear.
Well, their definition of anti-Semitic, which is obviously broadening.
All right. Well, yesterday we reported the new Justice Department filings against Ryan Routh, the man who tried to shoot President Trump in Florida last year. And we showed you that the DOJ now believes he was communicating with the Ukrainian officials prior to the assassination attempt, trying to get himself a Stinger or RPG for the attack. Yes, a rocket launcher for the attack. There's no proof that the person was actually from Ukraine, but there's also no proof that they were not Ukrainian, right? Ukraine sells or loses at least half the weapons they are sent from abroad. Former State Department cybersecurity expert Mike Benz said last night that he's 95% certain that Ryan Routh was a deep state asset set to kill Trump. Watch.
What do you think the percentage likelihood is that Ryan Routh was working for someone who was a contractor or a subcontractor of the United States government or one of its entities?
95%. Now, I think it's done informally, though, which is to say that this is not to say that the CIA did it or the Pentagon did it, because you have rogue cells that have informal networks that they set up to do this sort of thing. And this is the sort of thing you can really only get with electronic communications and a full sort of network map of every single person that Routh was interacting with. And what we're told is that the trial has been delayed because the volume of this is so intense, despite the fact that we're told that he was virtually homeless with his homes in foreclosure.
Yeah, I'm not buying that this is just some mentally ill person wandering around. I think somebody was operating Ryan Routh.
Operating Ryan Routh, of course. And the CIA, as I said yesterday here on the show, the CIA knew every American that was in Ukraine who was operating there in that capacity. There's no chance that they didn't know who this guy was. Well, more on this as the story unfolds, as we approach his trial date. They had to be pushed back because there's so much additional information now coming out on this clown. All right, well, we're learning more about exactly why the price of eggs soared as President Biden was getting ready to leave office. Well, it turns out price gouging by America's largest egg producers might be at the heart of it. Overnight, we learned that America's largest egg producer, Cal-Maine, is now under investigation by Pam Bondi's Department of Justice for price gouging. And the timing actually couldn't be more suspicious on all of this. Largest U.S. egg producer, Cal-Maine, now under DOJ price investigation. The company earned $508 million, which was a 245% jump in earnings compared to the year before that. It's a remarkable amount of earnings. Cal-Maine controls 20% of the U.S. entire egg market, And in 2023, while American families were shelling out over $5 for, this is 2023, were shelling out over $5 for a dozen eggs, Cal-Maine was enjoying some record profits, more than doubling their margins. They blamed it on the bird flu. They blamed it on inflation, like everyone else did. But here's the catch. Cal-Maine didn't even report a single bird flu outbreak at any of its facilities during the height of the crisis. So the Biden administration ordered and culled 166 million chickens, you'll recall. But Cal-Maine didn't have to deal with that until well after 2023. So why did the prices skyrocket? Well, that's exactly what Pam Bondi's DOJ wants to find out. Did Cal-Maine and possibly others coordinate to jack up the prices, raking in profits while the rest of the country suffered? Cal-Maine apparently delivers or apparently provides eggs to a lot of big stores, Costco, Kroger, Walmart, and others. So if their prices went up, then of course Americans felt that all across the country. But it gets worse. Listen to this. I didn't know this until I was diving into this research. Back in April of 2024, Cal-Maine did have a minor outbreak at their Texas facility, one of their Texas facilities, and they killed only 1.9 million birds, which might sound like a lot to you and me, but actually is less than 3% of their entire flock. So it was really just like a, you know, it was like a little speed bump. And this all happened while prices were surging, but somehow they still managed to walk away with $44 million in bailout money from the Biden administration, courtesy of the USDA's indemnity program. Did you know about this?
Okay, wait.
Did you know about this?
So up until this point, we had criticized the Biden administration for saying that we're going to lower prices by stopping price gouging. And we didn't believe them at the time. We're like, no, you've perverted our economy beyond recognition and sent us to war. And a lot of this is your own fault. So it's clear that there was some price gouging going on. But then if they know that, why would they bail out those who are doing the price gouging? So I was going to offer an I'm sorry to the Biden administration, but now I'm not gonna.
No, you're not. And because they still managed, this company still managed to walk away with $44 million in bailout money from you and me. And so did all these other companies. Jennie-O Turkey, $120 million in bailout money. Did you know this?
No.
$89 million from Herbrook Poultry Ranch, $46 million, Center Fresh Farm Eggs. But Cal-Maine, only 3% of their flock, $44 million. That's right. According to investigative journalist Gray Morin, U.S. taxpayers bailed out the poultry industry and helped entrench avian flu into the process because these companies know if they can claim a hardship with bird flu, they get millions of dollars. So if you, you know, here's what they did. They were supposed to, according to the USDA, they were supposed to put like latches and protective things over their trash cans and all sorts of protective biomeasures to make sure that, you know, avian flu didn't spread at their factories. But most of them didn't do any of that. And so this is how it's become entrenched there, because now they don't have to do anything. They still get bailed out. They're basically too big to fail, as Gray explains in his piece. You have to read his piece. It's really good. So just to recap, Cal-Maine had no flu issues when prices soared, according to the reports. When they did have a small outbreak months later, they got a massive government payout. And then during all of this, they paid out $250 million in dividends to shareholders for times 40 times higher than the year before. Oh, and they had enough cash lying around to buy another egg company for $110 million to grow even larger. They consolidated and bought another egg company. So this is classic welfare, corporate welfare that I despise. It's basically socialism, picking winners and losers. You get privatized profits and socialized losses. Cal-Maine gets richer. We foot the bill twice over, because once at the grocery store and then once from our federal handouts. That's how this works. And President Trump just spoke about these eggs.
When I got in, the press went absolutely crazy the first week. They said, eggs have quadrupled in price. I said, I just got here. Tell me about it. And Brooke Rollins and our team did a great job. And eggs are down now 79%, and they're all over the place. And this was a problem that somebody else would have taken a long time to cure.
Yeah. So more truth coming out on that story.
We are getting covering more affordable eggs.
At
this
Redacted.
Is truth. Yeah. Yes.
Egg prices are much cheaper now. That's good news. And so is gas prices. Hey, we're going to talk with Chris Rossini next from the Ron Paul Institute about Europe's trade war. And how is Europe going to respond to all of this? You know, they seem to be maybe playing ball, but they're also cozying up to China. What's going to happen? We're going to talk about that next. Plus, Dr. Robert Malone is going to join us to talk about measles. And then Dane Wigington is going to join us to talk about this government geoengineering and chemtrails. Someone in the chat says, hey, it's good that Redacted has woken up to chemtrails. We've been covering it for years on the show. Maybe you're new to the show, but we've been fully aware and covering it for a long time here. So thank you so much. But we're going to get to that right after this.
All right. But first, we want to tell you about American Financing, because it does seem that interest rates are going to go down. So this is a good time to think about consolidating your debt and leveraging your assets. Well, maybe you say, I don't have that much assets, but if you own a home, you absolutely do. And American Financing can teach you this trick of leveraging your home in order to get yourself out of bad high interest debt and change it in for much better debt. This is something that wealthy people learn all the time. Leverage your assets. You don't hold on to one thing and just put it, sit on it like a mother hen. No, your money is fluid and active, and they can teach you this trick. If you head to AmericanFinancing.net/redacted, they're saving their customers an average of $800 a month. So if you just call them or go online, you get a free consultation with no obligation, and you can learn this and sit on it and think for a while, but don't think too long, because interest rates may in fact become more favorable. You can call them as well at 866-890-8434, or head on over to AmericanFinancing.net/redacted. Get out of bad high interest debt. Start building wealth based on your financial portfolio. AmericanFinancing.net/redacted.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Well, can Europe really compete in a trade war with the United States? Business leaders are freaking out and begging the European Commission and European Commissioner Ursula von der Leyen to get in gear, please. You can't just talk like we're going to compete, but then still have this same oppressive regulatory system that keeps business from competing. So it's a big game unless something changes. Now, President Trump says he's going to put tariffs now on big pharma, and that will make them move manufacturing back to the United States. That would also severely hurt Europe. So Chris Rossini joins us from the Ron Paul Institute and helps us to figure out this question. Is Europe talking a big game, or could they actually compete? What do you think?
I'm not an expert on Europe. As far as our government, I think our problem is, is our own government. You know, we're pointing the finger outwards that we've been ripped off by the world, and it's our own government that has these deficits. It's a $7 trillion budget, $37 trillion in debt, increasing debt. So at the Ron Paul Institute, we place our focus on our own state rather than blaming the entire world. Now, when you're describing the EU, we have the same problems with our regulatory system, with overwhelming government in every single aspect of our lives. That has to be addressed instead of pointing the finger outwards.
Well, that's a good question, because it really is a question here of regulation. And so do you think Donald Trump, he's looking outwards at the trade we do with other countries, but he spoke many times on the campaign trail about regulation. I mean, I think besides Africa, there is no worse place for regulation than Europe. And so are we actually fixing this, or is our fixation on just sort of selling better to other countries?
Well, you know, the expectation, at least from our end, of Doge was to do what Elon Musk said. I mean, he sounded incredible on, you know, when he was campaigning for Trump, but that has fizzled a little bit. They've gone after some big stuff, USAID, Department of Education, but these are mostly Democrat leftist things that they've attacked. But the Republicans are all happy with Doge. They're not complaining. And we're hearing that we're going to have our first $1 trillion military budget. So, you know, we're going in the wrong direction. If anything, the military budget should be slashed drastically. So we're not seeing, the type of deregulation, the type of cuts that we were hoping for. I don't know if Trump is that guy or if he ever was. But Elon has to work within the apparatus that he's in. I'm sure he would do a lot more if he had a freer hand.
I find it interesting, too, that Ursula von der Leyen, European commissioner, who's, you know, an unelected representative, basically, of all of these European countries. I mean, Portugal's not coming to the table here sitting and talking. She's really driving this narrative that Europe is ready to negotiate with President Trump and get on friendly terms here and really lower and start accepting American-made manufacturing and goods to flow into Europe. I find that piece odd. I mean, maybe that's just me editorializing, Chris. But Europe doesn't really bring in a lot of American manufacturing, doesn't bring in a lot of American products. I lived there for 5 years. I can tell you that going to the grocery store, good luck finding like American products. You're just not going to. Very few of them are on store shelves and grocery stores. So do you think we're going to see a sea change? And can America actually provide that amount of supply to the world if everyone starts buying our stuff?
I don't know. And I don't know that, you know, we're going to have this rush of business here. Our country is in deep trouble financially with our government. We could in 2 years have a President Harris who will do who knows what. I mean, are you going to put your billions of dollars into the United States with such a political system? And, you know, the American people are not doing so well. You know, you have the people on the right saying we have a major mental health problem with people not wanting to work. And, you know, they've been blasted with all types of stuff that you don't even know the difference between a man and a woman. I mean, is somebody with billions of dollars want these types of people working for them? I mean, we have a lot of problems here that I'm not so sure that even if you got 0-0 tariffs, that people will come here anyway. It's still probably a better deal to stay overseas.
I guess this is a chicken or egg type thing. Is do we have unmotivated people because the government took their jobs, but could we put meaningful work in front of them and get unmotivated people? Which do we get? How do we get that, right?
And can we teach motivation?
Yeah. And so something that The Trump administration, I don't know if you saw Trump on Joe Rogan, but he told this story about you want to build a building. The EPA comes in and tells you you can't do it. And you need to get a consultant that's a green consultant that does nothing but drive up the cost. Then you just don't build the building because you get so frustrated. You walk away with a middle finger in the air. And what he actually did this week, in addition to the tariffs, was lift EPA regulations from the Biden administration. So because these types of green initiatives that do nothing are going to disappear and have done so this week. Do you put any stock in that as a positive momentum?
I'm sure that that's very good, of course. But, you know, when you think of the types of jobs that are done overseas, they talk about iPhones. And I mean, Americans are not going to sit in factories and screw little screws into phones. We just won't do it. You know, when I travel, if I go across the country or whatever, and I see signs, $20 an hour, and they have all these vacancies, Americans aren't even taking those jobs that are there. So to expect that they're going to do these laborious jobs that have been gone for so many decades here, and we just don't have that work ethic. So the Trump administration is saying, well, we're looking into technologies, which means automation. So bring your factories here and it's going to be automated. Well, I mean, so that kind of distorts the whole purpose of bringing these people here. If they're not going to be jobs anyway, it's all going to be automated. So, I mean, right. What has been done by our government to our country is a very big mess. And just solving it by raising tariffs is not going to cut it.
Well, and it's so difficult. So you're talking about 40 years of destruction of the United States. I mean, or maybe even longer, but really, I think 40 years, you could go back to the Clinton years when this really, I think, started in earnest with NAFTA, gutting our American manufacturing and driving it overseas. And you're right. We have millions of manufacturing job vacancies right now in the United States that we can't fill.
Right.
So I know.
I agree. But this is being sold as we're going into a golden age because we're putting some tariffs on. And now the tariffs are being paused. We couldn't even handle, you know, a few weeks of it. And it's very haphazard. You don't know what Trump's going to do from one minute to the next. How are these countries supposed to negotiate with him knowing that in his next sentence, he could take the tariffs off? I mean, it's very haphazard. Again, at the Ron Paul Institute, we focus on our own government, not going and trying to blame the whole world and creating enemies. I mean, they could have Americans hating the Chinese, you know, with propaganda before we know it. So this could go very bad, but we have to focus on our own situation and try to fix it.
You know, you're really bumming me out because I like to think that this idea of American motivation is still there. I love the movie Dave. I talk about it all the time when his main job is to find people work and that helps the American economy. And do you think we've destroyed this irreparably?
No. It just will take time. It's just not going to be abandoned. And again, is time what we have? Trump is here for a couple years and he may be gone. And then what happens? We could go back into DEI world. So it is... you know, don't the future is uncertain, but it's going to take time. It took time to get this bad. So, of course, it's going to take time to try to repair, but everything can be repaired. We just can't think that Trump is going to rip some Band-Aid off and there's going to be miracles everywhere. I wouldn't believe that.
Yeah, I know. I think people in this age of like order something on Amazon and it shows up at your door that evening, we need to, I think, or we want a customer service complaint, we're able to jump on with someone on the phone or a chat bot immediately and get an answer. It took 40 years of total destruction of this country. It's going to take a lot longer than just a few quick tariff moves. I totally agree with you.
You know, something I've been thinking about, I've been listening to this book called The Antidote, Happiness for People Who Can't Stand Positive Thinking. And there is some data that this adherence to the secret and positive thinking tanked our economy around the 2008. And then the Biden administration and Obama administration is, don't work, don't be productive, you're good as you are. That's oppressive, that's the patriarchy, right? And before that, we had the Reagan years where it was dog eat dog, Glengarry Glen Ross, do your best or else you're screwed kind of thing. And I'm thinking, maybe I'm a little nostalgic for the ethos of the 80s is do your best or get eaten. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, my grandparents and my parents, their work ethic was a lot different than, you know, when you see today's generations. But, yeah. you know, but that was given away, and it was given away by our government. Let's not blame everybody else. This was policy, this NAFTA and everything else that they, China didn't come here and steal everything from us. It was transferred over to them for profits, and those profits were made, but now we're left in the lurch, and we can fix it. But again, like I said, we have to take a long-term view. China is a 5,000-year-old civilization. They're not like us, where you need instant gratification. They will think 100 years out. That's not how it works here. But we can take steps to improve ourselves. We say, slash the state, free up that American ingenuity that it exists. But as long as we have a $37 trillion in debt and it's going to go to 55, forget it. Our government is still way too big.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Chris Rossini, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. Great to see you from the Ron Paul Institute. As always, America first. Thanks, Chris.
All right. A couple of people in the chat saying, what's the name of the book? It's The Antidote, Happiness for People Who Can't Stand Positive Thinking. By Oliver Berkman.
Well, and Ollie Fox in our chat says, I'm sick of people like this guy saying Americans won't do certain jobs. Americans need jobs that provide a living wage. Well, yeah, but we have millions of empty manufacturing jobs in the United States right now.
So the data supports it.
Yeah, I mean, and they're giving all sorts of bonuses and all sorts of things. So I don't know. You know,
maybe you and I can single-handedly bring back this Glengarry Glenn Ross ethos by just, you know,
always
being mean to people all the
be
time,
closing.
Pushing them,
ABC,
you know, making fun of losers. Should we do that again? Are you in?
I have never stopped making fun of losers. I prided myself my whole life on making fun of losers.
I've solved it. That's it. No, actually, that's Trump's. So he's on that one already.
All right. Hey, we got more news to get to. We're going to talk with Dr. Robert Malone. He's been kind enough to stand by. We've also got Dane Wigington on to talk about chemtrails. But Dr. Robert Malone is up next. We're going to talk about this measles, I guess you could call it
propaganda is the word he uses.
We'll talk about that in just a second. But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at Home Title Lock, because you know that American homeowners have over $32 trillion in equity in their homes right now, and criminals are targeting with a growing scam that the FBI calls right now house stealing. It is massive. It's exploded over the past 4 years. Scammers can now transfer your title out of your name using a one-page document that they file at the county. That's right. Then they can take out loans against it or even sell it behind your back. And the scariest part, you won't find out about it until your collection or foreclosure notices start pouring in, leaving you with a financial nightmare. The team at Home Title Lock actually can reverse all of that. They've got a team that will actually go back and get your house title back for you. That's probably their biggest selling point, what these guys can do. They know exactly how this operates, and they will fix it for you. And, you know, that's the thing. When's the last time you checked your home title? Do you even know? And then they can take out loans on your behalf. They can use it and take out credit cards and everything using the title of your home. And all they need is like a simple stamp that you can order on Amazon. That's how easy this is. So the FBI is very much aware of this. Now, we've partnered with Home Title Lock to offer you a chance to make sure you're not already a victim. When you use our promo code redacted at HomeTitleLock.com, you'll get 30 days of free protection and a free title history report to lock in your peace of mind. So guys, within that 30 days, it's totally free. And you can find out if your title has been hacked or taken from you within that 30-day free trial, okay? And it's peace of mind. You got to check it out, okay? It's the $1 million triple lock protection details when you get there. I pay for it myself, for my homes, for my home, for my own family. We are card-carrying customers that we pay for. We pay for their service personally here at Redacted. So again, check them out. Go to HomeTitleLock.com/redacted. Your first 30 days of triple lock home title protection is free. HomeTitleLock.com/redacted. Just like I said, use that 30 days. It's free just to check your home's title. But it's a protection that you should really have on your home, because these people can use it and take out loans and steal your identity. It's really, really horrible stuff. So our thanks to them for supporting our show.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
All right, well, they're lying to us about the measles outbreak. At least they're lying in some places and not others. The media is spinning this. Are you surprised? Two children have died in Texas with the measles, but the media is simplifying this as saying measles outbreak due to lack of vaccination. And now HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has switched his position on the measles vaccine, strangely. Dr. Robert Malone is writing about this every other day, basically, on his Substack, on his newsletter, and you should read it. He's an internationally recognized scientist and physician, one of the original inventors of the mRNA vaccine as a technology. He says we're getting a lot of propaganda right now, and he joins us because, in fact, these deaths may, he says, have been caused by a medical error, which he writes is one of the third, is the third leading cause of death in the United States. So what? Dr. Malone, thank you for joining us. Can you give us a rundown of these two deaths and what the media is telling us versus the reality?
So the claims are that these are deaths from measles. We've all experienced this kind of sleight of hand in media positioning during the COVID crisis, where we saw the overcounting of deaths attributed to COVID, whether or not they were actually caused by COVID or whether the individual that unfortunately passed away had another condition that was the proximal cause of death, but in addition had a PCR positive test in a nasal swab typically. And right. If so, then the kind of the default protocol was that such deaths would be declared as a death from COVID, even if the individual had been in a major automobile accident or had a headshot. Gunshot wound to the head. So here in the case of measles, measles can kill, that's clear, but it's extremely rare in healthy children. This is very much like COVID. And if you have children that have a major pre-existing condition or some other medical complication, measles is immunosuppressive and it can exacerbate whatever the pre-existing problem is and set those children up for other infections. So in the case of this outbreak in West Texas, unclear the original origin of the measles virus entering into a religious community that has historically refused vaccination, as is the case with many. The virus spread rapidly because measles is incredibly infective. And it spread rapidly through that community, and it has affected some of the surrounding members that have been vaccinated because the measles vaccine is let's say gently, far from perfect in terms of its protection and in terms of its adverse events. What is really at the front of this right now is the weaponization of fear around this. This outbreak is actually smaller than, for instance, the one in Ontario, Canada, that none of us have heard about. There's typically multiple outbreaks in the United States and in particular in Europe and throughout the world every single year. Now, previously, the United States was considered to have eradicated measles because they had not had one of these major outbreaks for a period of time, a little over a year. But now, as is often the case, we are having such outbreaks. And the press is amplifying this and immediately weaponized it as an attack against the new secretary of HHS, as if he was responsible for this longstanding religious community policy of not accepting these vaccines. And these accusations came almost immediately after his confirmation. So it's patently absurd on the face, but that's the play that's ongoing. And the fear porn, or what I call psychological bioterrorism, much akin to the psychological bioterrorism that was going on about the infectious disease avian influenza that you covered in your earlier segment as apparently having some component there of enhancing the business opportunity for certain egg producers. Here, what we have is media amplifying fear, spreading fear. Fear sells. Fear gets clicks and likes and follows and views. And in particular, talking about deaths of children. Unfortunately, when you look at the details, the clinical records of these two children that, for instance, the New York Times and many others are asserting were deaths from measles, what you find is that in this area of West Texas, there appears to be a problem of, let's say gently, medical competence.
And in right. And so cases, don't you think that's the headline? Because I read this as a mother.
Obviously.
And I'm terrified because the father said she needs a nebulizer. She didn't get it. The other one got the wrong antibiotic. This is, if they really want to scare me, this is the real story.
I agree with you. And what just came out, dropped from Children's Health Defense, is that Pierre Corey was able to get access through CHD to the actual medical records of this most recent hospitalization. And what it reveals is an unfortunate young female child that had, at some point, measles. Her presentation with measles corresponds to when she was hospitalized. She had a pre-existing thrush infection, so this is a yeast infection, an indication of immunosuppression. And while she was in the hospital where she developed this measles rash, she had some ineffective antibiotic treatment. Mm-hmm. It reduced her symptoms. They discharged her. She immediately got worse. She came back into the hospital. They misdiagnosed what now we see is clearly a hospital-acquired multidrug-resistant E. coli infection that was wow. The source of her pneumonia, and they did not treat it properly. So this is, as with the prior case, this is another case of where a hospital team, an ICU team, intensive care unit team, had, it appears, a bias. They repeatedly put into the clinical notes that that this person, this young child, had measles, and that was the explanation, she had measles pneumonia, but in fact she didn't. So they had some sort of a cognitive bias that this must be measles, and as a consequence, they didn't run down the other parts of the differential diagnosis, and it turned out that in fact what she had was a sepsis, a pneumonia, and the culture results indicate that it was from a multidrug-resistant E. coli that she probably picked up in the prior hospitalization. The hospital has dug in on this. They insist that this was a measles death, but there is no autopsy report. There is no death certificate. This is, I don't know what else to call it. This is propaganda or covering their backside at the hospital, appropriating a media trope of the lethality of measles, it appears, in order to hide their own malfeasance.
It's shocking. It's shocking and it's terrifying to think that you could go into a hospital for help and they could miss things that they could have treated if they were just being more thorough. And so,
or if it's your child. Yes, right.
Yeah, absolutely. And so now Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is visiting the families and he's saying things that are contradictory to what he has said before. He's always said that the MMR vaccine should be a personal choice and that we need to have more more studies about it. And he just said the other day that the most effective way to prevent the spread of measles is the MMR vaccine, which is surprising. It's a surprising backtrack of what we've seen.
Stop for a minute. Okay. That statement is not the same as saying go out and get the measles vaccine.
Okay. Fair enough.
The press and the MAHA base is taking that and running with it. And they're misunderstanding what they're reading. Like, you know, so both sides have their own problems with actually listening to words and appreciating what's being said. What Bobby is saying there is truly accurate. We have no other good tools for slowing the spread of measles. Measles is incredibly infectious. It has a, if you followed my Substack, it has an R-naught that's in the 8 to 10 range. This is among one of the most infectious viruses possible. And even a partially effective measles vaccine will slow the spread of this virus. And we have no other things other than that. Now, that's perhaps a fault of the medical establishment because it's obsessed with vaccination as the only solution. And so what Bobby's saying there is technically accurate, just to say.
Okay.
Not the same as saying y'all ought to go out and get your measles vaccine immediately. That is not what he said.
Okay, so then we'll come off the ledge there because the media. You're right. The MAHA base is saying, "How dare you say that? We trusted you, right?" So he's actually saying something that's reasonable.
Yeah, everyone's so ready
Bobby,
to be disappointed,
Bobby calls
Dr. Malone,
from time to time. All right.
Yeah.
The other day he called me out of the blue. I never call him, as you would imagine. It's a little bit of a power difference there.
It's intimidating,
but,
maybe.
he assured me that there are things in play right now that will really be strongly supported by the base. Now, I don't know what he's got in the oven, but I really suggest that people back off a little bit, like you say, walk back off the ledge, give him a little bit of time, and have faith. This is a guy that has spent the last third of his career passionately pursuing these issues. And to think that he's somehow going to abandon his principles because he has the privilege of being HHS secretary, that's a job I wouldn't want to have. He is to his eyeballs in alligators right now, totally overwhelmed by the tyranny of the urgent, and doing his best to fight battles on multiple fronts, including from the bloody New York Times and the corporate media about all this. And now he's getting shot at by his base. So just take a deep breath, relax a minute, have some faith in the guy. I'm confident that over the next few weeks, you'll see some things like the Peter Marks firing. You know, the Peter Marks firing was all about getting access to bears. Peter Marks was blocking bears. Well, why is that important? Well, because we want to analyze bears. Why is that important? Because we're all pretty darn sure that there is some interesting information in bears that is going to teach us about the risks of this RNA vaccine and the risks of vaccines in general. So just take a deep breath, step back for a minute, and be careful.
That's why we have you.
In DC communication, be careful that you're reading what they're saying and not projecting what you think they're saying.
Right.
I like Dr. Malone's bedside manner. when everyone's panicking, you can tell that's tried and true. Yeah. Dr. Robert Malone, always great to see you. Longtime guest here on the show. You were one of the very few out there fighting the good fight at the very beginning of this whole COVID nightmare. You were censored. You were banned. You were blocked. You were vilified. You were canceled. But we're glad that we're able to have you back here. It's great that you were vindicated in all of this. Dr. Malone, thank you so much. Great to see you.
Thanks for having me on.
And read his Substack. I'm going to let everybody know because my inbox is full of headlines from the corporate media screaming about measles. And then his Substack also in my inbox telling me how they're not telling the truth. So, seek out his Substack.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Thanks, Dr. Malone. All right. Dane Wigington is next. We're going to be talking about these chemtrails and these new revelations out of Florida with these weird globules that are appearing out of the atmosphere. Many of you, of course, are seeing these chemtrails all across the United States. The geoengineering is real. Dane Wigington has been on this and really devoted his life to it. So what are these weird things popping up in these new tests out of Florida? We're going to talk about that in a moment. But first, tax season officially here. My son the other day says, hey, are we doing anything on April 15th? I'm like, I don't know. It's tax day. He's like, hey, can we go to the movies that day? Like he is so unaware of it. But in our world, April 15th, tax time. The IRS is turning up the heat. April 15th approaching quickly. Now's the time to act if you've fallen behind on filing or you owe back taxes. Of course, the delay will only make things worse. Every day you wait until, you know, the increase your risk there and the consequences. Over 5,000 new tax liens are filed every day. And powerful enforcement tools like property seizures, bank levies, wage garnishments, all at their disposal of the IRS. And they're applying maximum pressure right now that we haven't seen in years. So now that they have this like sort of heightened administrative scrutiny, like many of these guys could be out of a job. Are you doing your job? Well, it's going to be tough. So don't make the mistake of facing the IRS alone. Tax Network USA is here to help you take control. Whether your tax issue is $10,000 or $10 million, their team of skilled attorneys and seasoned negotiators has resolved over $1 billion in tax debt using proven strategies. Your consultation is absolutely free. Don't wait for another letter or a surprise levy. Put a stop to the growing interest, penalties, and threats. Take back control of your finances. Call them 1-800-958-1000 or visit tnusa.com/redacted. Tax season is here. Don't wait for April 15th to make a move. Beat the IRS to it. Call 1-800-958-1000 for a private free consultation or just visit the website tnusa.com/redacted. That's tnusa.com/redacted.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Well, something strange continues to plaster our skies across America. Last week, RFK Jr.'s former running mate, Nicole Shanahan, she was on our show, but she also posted this on X. Based on what I'm seeing and hearing from whistleblowers, there's a very real possibility that the biggest contributor to our atmospheric pollution isn't your fireplace or your car, it's the lingering effect of geoengineering and stratospheric projects. These programs appear to be pumping far more into our skies than anything coming from a modern fuel-injected engine or even today's coal-burning plants, which can run in highly advanced filtration systems. Right, we have coal scrubbers, right, that clean all of this. And then over the past few days, bizarre objects have been falling from the Florida skies. Mike Adams over at Natural News has been running tests on these objects for months now. Aerosolized bioweapons, he asks. Strange diploid biomasses falling out of the sky in Florida and captured under the microscope. What the hell is this? Dane Wigington is the lead researcher and administrator for the website geoengineeringwatch.org. He's the executive producer for the groundbreaking film. I encourage you to go to see it. It's the climate engineering documentary called The Dimming. Go check it out. Dane has devoted the last 20 years of his life to constant research on this issue of covert global climate engineering, and he joins us now. Dane, good to have you back here on Redacted. We are thrilled with your expertise on this. I think there's a lot more awareness now starting to surface from at least maybe politicians, maybe the media, maybe starting to pay attention to this. I don't know, but it seems like we're making some headway. And then we hear this story out of Florida with these weird, you know, biomass modules here. What do you make of this sort of aerosolized bioweapon that we could be seeing in Florida?
We shouldn't expect otherwise, Clayton, Natalie. Again, thank you both for your voice and your attention toward the skies. But this is business as usual for governments going back many, many decades. We know as far back as 1977, according to the Washington Post. Even up to that point, there had been no less than 239 open-air biological tests conducted by the U.S. military against innocent, unknowing civilians. So this is business as usual.
What?
In any given location and with any given event, we can't know exactly what's being dispersing. There's nothing to stop them from dispersing anything they want. We do know, based on hundreds of lab tests, many of those taken working with University of Minnesota and many from geoengineeringwatch.org in California, that we have polymer fibers and graphene in our precipitation. Both of those elements are named in climate engineering patents, but they are also used as biological carrier platforms in biological warfare to carry a pathogen from the clouds to the ground. So why would we think this isn't going on? Certainly, we have more dots to connect with that as well. We have Italian researchers that identified CV19 attached to airborne particulates. We have the second most recognized climate engineer in the world, Dr. Ken Caldera, who stated on the record, we own an audio of him stating it, that one of his jobs for the DOD was to design methods of spraying pathogens into clouds to infect the populations below. So there's too many puzzle pieces that connect there.
So Mike Adams posted this just a short time ago, kind of an update on this story. He says, I have disturbing update on the barium fallout from chemtrails and the weird fog events. In our mass spec lab using ICP-MS analysis, we're seeing barium-137 at estimated levels exceeding 150 parts per million. And we are now acquiring external standards to run a full quant test on this element in the near future. Is barium-137, which means it's an atomic mass of 137. The isotope of barium is known to be largely created by the beta decay of cesium-137, which is a highly radioactive death powder that's used in dirty bombs and is one of the byproducts of nuclear detonations.
Here's where the equation becomes much more complicated. It appears, based on one published study at least, that coal fly ash may be being used as a base material for the ongoing aerosol spraying operations. And I want to make that clear. These are sprayed payload dispersions, because there seems to be a pushback effort now, even by some organizations that are close to this administration, trying to change the narrative that this is just jet exhaust. We're way past that point. We have long since proven this is absolutely not jet exhaust. We're not seeing just condensation trails in the sky. We have up-close film footage of these aircraft at altitude, KC-10s, KC-135s, C-17 Globemasters, nozzles visible turning dispersions on and off. So this effort to regurgitate the official denial of what we see in our skies as being just jet exhaust is even being adopted and pushed by some heads of organizations that are close to the administration, and that's very disturbing for us. For the record, I spoke to Robert Kennedy about 5 weeks ago. He contacted me through this organization that has now changed their narrative to jet exhaust. And the conclusion of my conversation with Robert, who wanted my opinion as to what would be the biggest first step we could take to resolve this issue in our skies, and certainly anybody in the administration should know this already, but we need carved in stone whistleblower protection that's well publicized, and we would have a stampede of people stepping forward. Because as I told Robert, I've had a NOAA scientist, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, state to my face, quote, "We all know this is going on. We have no First Amendment protection. We don't know what to do. We have an illegal federal gag order on all National Weather Service and NOAA employees. First step might be to lift that gag order instead of firing these people, and maybe the firings of them will create enough anger where they will stand together and stand up and tell the truth while it can still make a difference." Because MAHA anything, Clayton and Natalie, MAHA anything means nothing, zero, unless or until the ongoing atmospheric spraying operations of 40 to 60 million tons of highly toxic nanoparticles annually. Until that stops, MAHA anything means nothing. And the coal fly ash does contain the same elements that Mike found in his tests, wow, including the barium, the cesium, and many other elements. So it's quite a plethora of toxic elements that we're sucking in with every breath. It needs to be dealt with, or we're done.
Yeah.
How devastating are these particles for Americans? You know, you talk
or
about
humans
or humans, you know,
or animals,
but flying over our skies every day, our audience right now, I'm just seeing like, I mean, so many people in our chat room are saying they see it every day. And some days they refuse to go outside because they know that it affects their health. They feel it affecting their health. Seeking Truth says, "I'm sick of being poisoned. I'm sick of it." So many of our viewers are saying they're absolutely sick and tired of this. What exactly are these chemicals doing to the human body and the soil?
It's an endless list of downstream cascading consequences to our health, neurological, degenerative diseases. And again, I want to stress these particles are dispersions. We will post soon at geoengineeringwatch.org my discussion with a top microbiologist from Rensselaer Polytechnic University in New York, world-renowned lab. Their conclusion, based on analyzation of tests that geoengineeringwatch.org took at altitude from a very expensive and hard-to-acquire private jet and a National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration flying lab, and their determination at Rensselaer Polytechnic, these are manufactured particles, period. And again, coal fly ash is a base material. So the list of toxic materials is extremely long, and this is imperative to point out. All these materials, aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese, even the elements Mike found, barium, cesium, there's many more on top of that, but they're all toxic by themselves. When you combine them, you get synergistic toxicity, and that can push the overall toxicity through the roof. So in the case of mercury, which we all have in us now, and every person that we've tested at Geoengineering Watch, hair, blood, urine, packed with all of these metals, we know from peer-reviewed study, when you combine aluminum, which most know is toxic, it's toxic to all life forms, period, no exceptions, and you combine that with mercury, the overall toxicity escalates as much as 10,000%. That's 100 times worse. It's a wonder any of us are walking and talking at this point. It's being uptaken in everything, our food, our water. And so let's use the bees for an example. Natalie, Clayton, have you seen the recent published studies on the bees? They are virtually collapsing this year. Have you seen that?
Not the most recent studies, no. We actually had bees for quite a while in our own beehives, until some massive Asian hornets came and killed them all. But we haven't seen the most recent studies on that. Can you enlighten us?
I'll wrap this into our health. So this year we're told the bee collapse was somewhere in the range of 65%. But what they don't tell you, that's 65% of the 20% that was remaining. We've already lost about 80% of all insects, terrestrial and aquatic. So now we're down to single-digit percentages of the bee populations left. That's extremely ominous by itself. But we have peer-reviewed study, and your listeners can look this up. I encourage them to do so. Bees, aluminum. We have peer-reviewed study to prove aside from all the other factors affecting bees, farm chemicals, frequency transmissions, which are also part of climate engineering, by the way. But we have peer-reviewed study in the case of aluminum to prove that the bees are dying of massive aluminum exposure, so much so that they're exhibiting symptoms that resemble Alzheimer's and dementia in a human being. They can't even find their way back to the hive. Why is that not headline news everywhere? Every single rain test we've taken to GeoengineeringWatch.org contains copious quantities of aluminum. And this is nanoparticle form, if you will. So the smaller the particle, and you can fit up to 100,000 nanoparticles across the width of a single human hair, the smaller the particle, the more toxic it is, the more lethal it is, the more bioavailable, the more bioaccumulative. It is absolutely positively in every breath we take at this point. How is that not a fight for life? And back to Maha, again, how can Maha anything mean anything unless or until these programs are stopped?
What happens if the bees disappear? The bees are almost gone. What's the motivation to kill them off? Is it depopulation? Is that the agenda here? Depopulation? I know it's a lot of people in the chat room saying right now this is about depopulation, but what happens when the bees go? We all go?
Well, according to Einstein, yes, we would have only a few years after that point. And we're losing all the pollinators, not just the bees. In regard to the agendas, that is a very complex question, and the answer is complex as well. And we have too many people grabbing for this or that conclusion to that. It's many, many things. So are those in power trying to depopulate? I think that's clear at this point. They've all talked about it for decades, and they certainly have done from multi directions, from the injections to countless releases of pathogens. Are we not to think there's hundreds of biolabs around the globe that are engineering exactly the kind of pathogens that we're seeing. Are we to think that they're not being released? Of course they are. So again, we have that aspect, and certainly populations are becoming a rapidly increasing liability to those in power, especially in the US where the population is heavily armed. Again, we're not just expendable, we're a rapidly increasing liability. But in regard to the destruction of the planet's life support systems itself, which almost no one is focused on, economic anything, sanction anything, all that is just a result of collapsing ecosystems around the globe and now not enough to go around. And that needs to be the focus. The environment has historically provided 75% of all global GDP for free, no more. And when you don't have a functional environment, you no longer have civilization, and soon you won't have the human race or anything else on the planet. And geoengineering is the single most destructive factor, not the only factor. Again, we've laid waste to the planet in countless ways, but climate engineering has disabled the planet's life support systems. The planet cannot respond with this climate engineering straitjacket. So this is being used as a weapon of war. Natalie and Clayton, we see agricultural regions systematically targeted with flash freeze, flash drought, flash flood. But these operations are highly toxic, so it's killing root systems. Natalie and Clayton, have you seen how many trees are tipping over every time the wind blows?
Well, I just literally today, there's a video that went viral in Pennsylvania near my old stomping grounds. And a woman was just sitting there in traffic and a massive tree just fell right over on her car and smashed her car.
Exactly. This is, again, we see no decomposition in the forest anymore. There is no forest smell in the forest anymore. Zero, nothing. Because not only are the root systems being poisoned, we have peer-reviewed study to prove that bioavailable aluminum causes root systems to shut down nutrient uptake. They die a slow, protracted death. Beetles are simply a symptom of a sick, dead, dying tree. But we also have the stomata, that's the respiratory ports on everything from crops to forests. They're shutting because climate engineering is destroying the ozone layer without which we all die. And we are perilously close to functional collapse. You can feel how hot the sun is on you. And it's not hairspray cans, Clayton and Natalie. It's climate engineering. These other factors are real, but they're a very small portion of what's occurring. Climate engineering, by far the biggest source of ozone destruction. So the intense UV, the toxic rain, the dead soils, dying root systems, and forests shutting their stomata so they don't breathe, they don't absorb CO2, they don't release oxygen. By the way, atmospheric oxygen content also plummeting now. So again, GeoengineeringWatch.org is focused on what's happening in our skies because it's weather, chemical, and biological warfare from which we cannot escape anywhere. If we don't deal with it, we're done. That simple.
Dana, I'll get you out of here on this. This story kind of made the rounds maybe last week when we learned about what the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation was doing, as well as other philanthropists and billionaires about the Global Seed Program. So it turns out that they are heavily involved in the seed programs, particularly those focused on developing climate-resistant crops and helping small farmers in developing countries. And they have these seed banks where they have funded them, these sort of, I guess they're like Monsanto and other resilient seeds that are being held by these billionaires that we don't have access to. What the hell is that about?
You're completely correct. And let's add this to the list. Aluminum resistant crops. How about that? Why would we need that? Because again, we're talking about tens of millions of tons of toxic aluminum nanoparticles. Why would they use aluminum? I asked the world's most recognized geoengineer on film, on the record, at an international geoengineering conference. This is all shown in the Deming documentary. After he proposed dumping tens of millions of tons of toxic aluminum and nanoparticles into the atmosphere annually, my question to him was, have any toxicological studies been done at all, human and or environmental? His answer, in the end, no. Could terrible things happen tomorrow? We don't know. What kind of an answer is that from the world's most recognized geoengineer, Dr. David Keith? And again, if that's the attitude of scientists, they clearly don't care about the consequences of anything they do. And we are about to reap the repercussions from that. And it, again, no matter what other causes or concerns people have, and there are many valid ones, I don't deny that. If we don't deal with this, all of those other causes and concerns will very soon become moot. So again, our message to the current administration and RFK and HHS and MAHA: if we don't deal with climate engineering, nothing else matters, including the whole MAHA everything. Doesn't matter if we don't deal with this.
Well said. Man, we've got people like Nicole Shanahan paying attention and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. talking to you on the phone. These are all positive signs moving us hopefully in the right direction. I think there seems to be an awakening.
I hope that's true. I hope that's because Robert knew about this since 2012 when Woody Harrelson briefed him in depth. I knew about that when it happened, when Woody told him. I knew about that. And nothing happened, zero, for 12 years until Robert was asked by some important people to interview me. They called me as well and told me that interview was going to happen. So I hope there's a lot more initiative taken than what's already been taken, because we don't have much time left.
Yeah, I agree. Well, now he's in power. He's been there for about 30 days. So let's hope that there's some action taken immediately during this Trump administration. I hope so. Fingers crossed. I'm hopeful. I'm a hopeful kind of person. So I will continue to pray in that regard. Dane, great to see you. Thank you so much, as always, for your expertise. I encourage our viewers to go watch the documentary, The Dimming. Visit geoengineeringwatch.org and study Dane's great work and the team there. Thank you, Dane. We really appreciate it.
Very grateful to you, Clayton and Natalie. Very grateful to both of you. And I would end with this. We're the ones we've been waiting for. And I'm very grateful for your help in sounding the alarm. It's up to us. We need to move this fight forward. Again, I'm very deeply grateful to you and your followers. Thank you.
Thank you, Dane. And thanks to all of you watching as well. Please, you know, share this with people, you know, post it on Facebook, share it around, you know, post it on X and other places so that other people can be educated about this. That's the way that we can make a movement here, is education. You know, share this via email with people who might be skeptical on it. And I think that that's how we can maybe, you know, move some needles here on this. So.
Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for us today on Redacted. Thank you so much for joining us. Hey, are you subscribed to the newsletter? Because you get a lot of this news in advance. If you are, it's totally free. Head on over to redacted.inc. You just click the little join our newsletter. It's free. And then you click the authentication email that comes in your inbox. And you get it every day that this show comes out, Monday through Thursday. We work really hard to make sure you have it early in the morning and that it is accurate and that it has links to original source material to the best of our ability. I really try hard not to link you to a news article about the news. I want you to have the original court filing, clinical study, whatever it is. We work really hard on it. So please do subscribe. And when I say free, I mean it. There's nothing that's paywalled or an upsell or anything like that. So redacted.inc. All right. We will see you here tomorrow. That will wrap up our week on Redacted. Thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. We hope you give us your feedback on the stories that we did today.
By the way, I should say tomorrow's our last show in this studio, because we're building our brand new studio and we'll have our temporary studio in place coming up here shortly. So it's going to be a little bit of craziness over the next few weeks around the redacted barn.
So don't get attached to this.
So yeah, our new, I know we've been working on it. Many of you have asked about it. So yeah, we're slowly putting it together, but this tomorrow will be our last show in this old, old tent. This was a temporary studio all along.
We're going one temporary to the next and we're planning to land someplace. You don't need to know that. We just need to give you the best news possible, but we want it to be pretty.
Yeah.
So we'll be back here tomorrow as pretty as we can be, you guys.
Bye, everyone.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
I always had a private doctor. I didn't think I needed VA care. Then I learned VA is ranked above private care systems nearby and costs less. I'm getting the best care of my life with providers trained to treat veterans. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for this hyper amount of benefits mentioned here.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.